Good morning. It's a blessing to be here this morning. The butterflies have been going pretty good this week, at least in my stomach, so I would like to greet you with the words from Galatians 1, verse 3 to 5. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, whom gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. My name is Reverend James Stace, and with the Lord Christ leading, I would like to bring a message this morning in my testimony. And I would also like to welcome everybody here and online, and if there are visitors in our midst. And I thank you for all the prayer supports. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts for the plan of salvation that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you, Jesus, for your righteousness, and that he rose to finish the plan of salvation. I ask you, Lord, to give me the words and the strength to bring out the word of God. And if I have spoken wrongly, that you would forgive me. I also pray for the Sunday school teachers, the children, and that you would be with them also. I also pray for the congregation and also for the ones that would like to be here, but for health reasons or any other reason that could not come. I pray also for the ones that have lost loved ones and give them courage and comfort. And I also pray for the leaders of your church, that you would give them guidance and the strength to do so. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now we'll have two congregational songs.
Take our red books and turn to number 140. Have you any room for Jesus? 140.
Away. Room for Jesus, King Savior's bleeding seas. Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now, his word obey. Swing the heart doors widely open. Bid him that little boy you may.
Number 200, I heard the Savior say, Number 200.
Thank you for those songs. It's the second one here, the second song, Jesus Paid It All. And then the first one, Have We Room for Jesus? The question is, like, if Jesus paid it all, do we actually have room for him? He loved us so much that he gave it his all. Start off with John 14, verse 27. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This verse we had on a picture frame in our house on the wall. And I really never paid attention to it or read it. But a while ago, we were cleaning up the toys after the children had gone home from a gathering. So I was cleaning up the toys, and this picture was crooked, so I had to straighten it out. While I turned my back, the picture fell down. The glass broke, and then I read this inscription or the message. The message said, peace. Do I have peace in my heart? If we have Jesus in our heart, we have that peace. So I noticed the word peace, and I looked up the word peace and its meaning. The word means freedom from disturbance or tranquility, or a state of a period in which there is no war or the war has ended. Peace is a stress-free state of security and calmness that comes when there is no fighting or war, everything coexisting in the present harmony and freedom. In our war-torn world, it seems like there is not nearly enough peace. However, peace can be big and small, seen in entire countries for a brief moment in time. Proverbs 16, 7 to 9. When a man's way please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is little with righteousness than great reverence without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. So we can change our ways that pleases the Lord or delights him. Even the enemies will have peace because they can see we have the Lord on our side. In verse 6 it says, be mercy by mercy and truth. Inquiry is purged. Iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So by the fear of the Lord, we will depart from evil. When we have Jesus in our hearts, we have that calmness about us. Jesus leaves the gift of peace with us. My peace, not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but by perfect peace. His perfect peace that he gives us. Don't yield to the fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. This morning, I had to get the peace back into my heart because I was thinking of what man has to think of me when I bring up my testimony. The man has so much power over us. And if you leave it with the Lord and ask him to come into your hearts, it gives you a calming feeling. John 14, verse 1 to 4. John 14. 1 to 4. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know the way, ye know. So this past year, what did we do for Christ? Did we grow spiritually? Or did we idle wander on the wide road to destructions? I had to come closer to the Lord Jesus in my daily walk. In verse 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we must come to Jesus Christ before we can come to the Father. Philippians 4, verse 7. Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God comes to a child of God who trusts and prays. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If we do that, we will experience the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, that will guide and protect and keep our hearts and minds. Colossians 3, verse 15. Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So that peace from Christ, this is that heart peace which Christ demonstrates in his life here on earth. It is a peaceful, calm state of the soul which is not ruffled by adversary or disturbed by fear of man. This is the peace that is given by Christ to rule over our hearts and thoughts and feelings and desires in life. In Colossians 3, verse 16, so let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so whatsoever ye do in the word or deed, do also in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. So in today's Bible reading, Jesus offered peace to his disciples at a very troubling time. And we're getting to that time when Jesus was betrayed on the cross. It's a troubling time at that time. So when he was about to leave them, peace is not the mere absence of strife, conflict, or physical pain, but rather a heart fully trusting in God and resting in him. If we profess Christianity but lack real peace in our heart, it will be a hindrance to us. What gospel message can we offer to the lost? A lack of peace among believers is also a hindrance because it gives the enemy an occasion to reproach the gospel. A peaceful person is easy to be entreated, James 5, verse 17. If we are called in question and we become defensive, we give evidence that the peace of God is lacking in our heart. A peaceful person will have controlled mind and tongue. And the tongue, we read in James that it is a really unruly evil at times. We will be careful not to put a stumbling block in our brother's way. The peace of God is in our heart and will help to maintain our composure and keep us from going to pieces when trying circumstances confront us. Rest, tranquility, and a free conscience are available to everyone because Christ has made peace through the blood of his cross. The true peace of God comes from knowing that nothing stands between us and God, our fellow Christians, and our neighbors. It is not just a noble, but rather a full course meal of complete sanctification and the rest in our soul. God's peace provides freedom in difficult times and in all our stressful and troublesome situations. Believing that our sovereign God controls all the circumstances of life, provides security and peace that no one but his children can experience. My God, grant us the peace that comes only by full surrender to his will and purpose. So before we go into my testimony, those that are able, let's kneel and ask the Lord in a prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please take your blue books and turn to page number 396. I'll put Jesus first in my life. Can we stand, please?
I see.
Thank you for that singing. My testimony. We'll start off with Philippians 4, 11 to 14. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, that ye do communicate with my afflictions. So Paul has learned to be content in whatsoever state the Lord has put him in, and we should be the same. In verse 12, Paul says that he knew how to be obese, to make or to bring low or to be humble. Being content in any and every situation, whether we are well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, we can have all the physical desires of the world, but still be hungry or have wants. We need to draw near to God spiritually, and that is my everyday goal. In verse 13, if we let the Lord Jesus Christ lead us and be faithful and just to him, he will strengthen us in our daily walk. I grew up in a loving family home with two parents and six siblings. Us siblings showed our love to each other in different ways, by getting under each other's skin, as you might say. My parents were Christians and instilled the Lord's teaching in all of us. We lived southwest of Altona on a few-acre homestead. Dad was a hard worker that provided for the family, and we lived beside my grandparents, Dad's parents. When my grandpa would call for help, Dad would drop what he was doing and go help him. I guess that was a teaching that he gave us. Help those who are in need. Luke 10. Luke 10, verse 30. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds and pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. So which one of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do likewise. So I think that's what my father was teaching. When somebody needs help, that we go help. So we had cows and pigs and dogs, and we were taught how to work. As the Bible says in Genesis 3:19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. Or out of it wast thou taken, for out of it was thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So I went to grade school at New Hope School. Looking back, we had very good teachers. At the time, I did not think so, because I did not like school. I was one of those children you might call a hard learner. I enjoyed sports and working at home. I remember one day coming home from school and had learned a new word that was not in our home vocabulary. So with Dad being at work, and it was up to Mom to correct our speech. So we got to taste soap firsthand. It cleans up language very well. It works good. They should advertise it as such on the label. But there was no shortage of work at home, milking the cows, feeding the pigs, and helping around the yard. So I started high school at W.C. Miller in Altoona. This was a scary thought for me, coming from a school of 60 students to a school of 350, and school was still hard for me. So I would take power mechanics to get through school, but I enjoyed it. I enjoy working on vehicles and fixing and repairing. So I finished school and went on to go get my Red Seal in heavy-duty equipment mechanics in Brandon through H. Martell & Sons. So I was baptized at a young age of 17. I was insecure and went with the crowd. My life did not change. Sorry, my life did change. What I now was a member of the Summerfelt Mennonite Church. But my lifestyle had not changed. I still did the same ungodly stuff, sins, but I would compare myself to other Christians and other believers. Like it's like washing your vehicle on the outside. People see the outside, but they can't see the inside. So we can hide that. So outside of our vehicles, outside we look proper and looks good. But what's in our heart? In 1986, I found the love of my life, Susan. We got married in 1987, and we went to church most Sundays. It was not a must to go. We would work hard during the week and rest on weekends, doing stuff that pleased us. I joined the Altoona and Rhineland Fire Department and Ambulance Service in 1988 and served the community, and I did this for 35 years. I enjoyed it till my retirement. That was my second family. So my lifestyle was busy now with a family and being a volunteer fire and ambulance. So that was my excuse not to be a Sunday school teacher. I did finally give in and become a teacher. I started to enjoy bringing the word of the Lord to the children. And there was an opening for a song leader in Sunday school, and I jumped on it. Then I became a children Bible hour leader and then a Sunday senior youth leader. Boy, knowing how God was molding me. Romans 9, verse 21. Romans 9, verse 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay. Of the same lump he make one vessel unto honor and the other vessel of the other to dishonor. So God is the molder here. He's molding me. I became a church song leader and college career leader and also a church board member for many years. So we were blessed with four children, two boys and two girls in the middle. We are married. Three are married, and we have been blessed with three grandchildren. So my parents both have passed away. Mom had a stroke, which slowed down her mobility. So Dad was now her rock, helper. We helped as a family in any way possible. Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 4. Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. To me, I think that was what my earthly father did. I had respect for him and loved him more. I could see the unconditional love Dad had to Mom, his wife, and my mother. The unconditional love that Jesus Christ has for us. So he died on the cross for our sins. The last days of Mom's life here on earth, she looked at me and said, to leave the bag of burdens at the cross of Jesus and not to pick them up again the next day. That reminded me of the song in the blue hymnal, Leave It There. See, Albert Tidley also needed a Savior, just like we do. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. That was the last saying that stuck with me from my mom. She passed away December 15th, 2009. Now, Dad was by himself earthly, but he still had the Lord. He also had a stroke years later. He now needed help. At that time, it was almost an inconvenience when he needed help from me. It was cramping my lifestyle. So what is the meaning of lifestyle? The way in which a person lives. 1 John 2, verse 15 and 17. 1 John 2, 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I needed to overcome my pride and spend time with my earthly father, just like we have to spend time with our Heavenly Father. As I spent more time with Dad, I realized that the time was not wasted. Imagine if our Lord Jesus Christ had that thought. I have wasted my time. Luke 13, 7 to 9. Luke 13, 7 to 9. We'll start in verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I came seeking fruit on this fig tree, and found none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. If not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So I was doing it for the Lord. Singing songs to Dad was part of God's plan when I became a song leader. I could sing songs that were meaningful to both of us. I enjoyed the last days with Dad. It's precious to me. I can only pray that our children will do the same one day. Dad passed away November 19, 2017. The time I spent with Dad were precious to me and which drew me near to my Heavenly Father. James 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. For years, I had this feeling that God was not done with me to bring out His word. I said to myself that others were more qualified than I was. I knew of Jesus, but I did not know Him as my personal Savior. I was comfortable where I was. I did not need to move to the other side of the pulpit. On September 29, 2019, there was a ministerial election in Altona Summerfell Church. There were two to be elected, and I was the second one to be elected. My heart was hardened. I did not hear the Lord's call. When the election was over, the next days, I was in denial that it was not from God. It was not God's calling, but thinking to myself that the brethren had chosen me because I put myself out there. I was greeting people, and I enjoyed it very much, and I still do. But I had a lot of thoughts about why the brethren would vote for me, dismissing that it was from God. Some reason we started to read more of the Bible. And I guess because it was a challenge from the senior youth in the beginning of the year to see if we could read 3 chapters each day. Susan and I started to get up early in the morning and read His word. God was preparing me for this day. I was starting to get to know the Lord Jesus. Ephesians 2, 4 to 9. Ephesians 2, 4 to 9. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by the grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So we submit to God and resist the devil. He will purify your heart and mind. When we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God can heal and take away whatever lusts you have, it is gone. Lusts or sins. But we need to change, we need to believe that it is sin and not just lust. James 4, 5 to 8. James 4, 5 to 8. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain? The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So God will cleanse our hearts if we ask him. Romans 10, 9 to 11. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So we believe in the Lord, and he will give us that salvation and not be ashamed of him. So we need to keep God's word daily and to fill up that empty space that we have created. Because if we take the lust of the world out of our hearts, there is space for other things. We read that in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So God will help us in our temptations, but we have to ask him. So do you know how much time habits take away from God? We think of when and where we can do our habits, our sins. There is no time for God or the Lord Jesus Christ. We try to keep it away from man. Oh, the power that man has and what they think of you. The other day I looked up, what is the average height of a man? The average height of a man is 5'9". So I got cowboy boots on, so I'm probably pretty close to 5'9". So if I'm scared of man, how big is our God? If we are scared of man more than God, then our God is smaller than 5'9". So it puts in perspective how great our God is. In Isaiah 40, verse 12. Here's some measurement on how great our God is, how big he is. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hands, and might out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and the weight of mountains in a scale, the hills in a balance. So we can't imagine. He's holding the water in the palm of his hand, in the hollow of his hand. How much water can we put in our hollow of our hand? I can maybe put a tablespoon in there. And he has all the water of the world in his hand. And heaven, the span of his hands. So our God is big. So when we read James 5, 16 to 18, we see how big our God is. When we let the Lord's leading, it is amazing. James 5, 16 to 18. James 5, 16 to 18. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. So he had the same things what we want. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. That's how big our God is. John 15. John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he pruneth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So we can see what Jesus is saying here. We abide in him. And he is our branch, our tree, and we are the branches of his vine. And he gives us that nourishment. So let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we could read your word and glorify and honor you. We could see how powerful you are and how great you are. The much grace that you've given us and myself. And the salvation that you've given us. that you gave me the words to speak this morning, and that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide us this week in our daily walk. I thank you all for the prayers that have been sent up for me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For all other things on your hearts and those that can, let us kneel and ask the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stick our blue book and turn to number 483. He the pearly gates will open.
Good morning. First of all, I'd like to just highlight a few things out of the bulletin. Next Sunday will be the all-youth Easter program here, and youth are asked to be here at 1:30. And the men's breakfast for April 19th has been canceled, but the next one will be on May 17th, 9 a.m., here in the dining room. And it sounds like it might be the last one for this season, so it'd be great to come for that. And seeing that today is the collection is for general missions, it'd be a great time to share a letter that was received by the missions committee. I'd like to share that with you here today. It's from WorldServe Ministries. It says, "Dear Sommerfeld Mennonite Church, we are incredibly grateful for your recent gift and for your continued generosity in supporting this ministry. As economic challenges grow in the countries we serve, the needs are greater than ever. Yet, because of your kindness, we can continue providing critical support to pastors, children, and families facing hardship. Your partnership is a blessing, hope, and relief to those who need it most. Thank you for standing with us in this vital work. Your generosity is making a difference. With gratitude, Lou Peters." So just so you know that the funds that you are providing are making a difference. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you for those announcements and for the singing. I have nothing more to bring to you this morning, but just to greet you with the words here in Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead of our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of an everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." May you go in peace. God loves you.